Our theme this evening is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. We have here an account of Solomon's wisdom and his glory. And that wisdom and glory was seen by the Queen of Sheba. The Lord Jesus Christ refers to Solomon's glory on more than one occasion in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 29. He says, or verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." And then in chapter 12 of Matthew, in verse 42, he speaks of the wisdom of Solomon. "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." And the Lord Jesus then regarded this chapter as sober history, and so should we. The Lord Jesus treats this as literal history, that the Queen of Sheba did come and did behold the wisdom of Solomon and the greatness of his kingdom. And it was Solomon's wisdom that lay behind his glory and his splendor. The one caused the other. The wisdom of Solomon was that which caused his arrangement of things to be so fruitful. But first of all, let us consider beholding the light of the world. Beholding the light of the world in the first 13 verses. You see that Solomon was reflecting the light of the world in verse 1. "And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions." The fame of Solomon's wisdom spread to all nations and revealed and reached the news of it reached the Queen of Sheba. And it was known that his wisdom was from the Lord and was due to God's gracious covenant with Israel. Now Solomon was both a type and a reflection of Christ, the light of the world. That's why in Psalm 72, the psalm that David wrote for Solomon, contains much that goes far beyond Solomon to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Solomon was both a type and a reflection of Christ, who is the light of the world. He was a type of Christ as a king, and according to the flesh, a forebear of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was also a reflection of Christ, in that he was Christ-like in godliness and in wisdom, and also in the manner of his kingship under God, insofar as he followed the Lord. His reign was an instrument of the Lord's gracious reign over his people. So he was a type of Christ, but he was also Christ-like, as David his father, in his godliness and wisdom. And also he was a representative of Christ the King, in that he was the Lord's anointed over his people. So it was as a reflection of Christ, the light of the world, that he reigned. And people came from all quarters to hear his wisdom, but especially in this passage, the Queen of Sheba. You'll notice also the exertion that is appropriate to hear the wisdom of God. The exertion that is appropriate to hear the wisdom of God. Verse 2. "And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones." In the verse that we referred to in Mark 12, verse 42, Matthew 12, verse 42, The Lord Jesus says, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Christ stresses how far she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, of this bearer of the light. And yet the very light himself was present among the Jews, and yet they murmured and they required of him a sign in verse 38 of that same passage. She came with gold and with ointments and spices such as Jerusalem has never known since. But when Christ, the light of the world, was freely among men, they despised him. Notice then the great pains in seeking Christ. The wisdom of God are fully justified. The kingdom of God is to be taken by violence, and men are to press into the kingdom of God. It is to be sought more than gold and fine gold. And this is shown in the Queen of Sheba's ardent desire to hear the wisdom of Solomon, who was but a reflector of Christ, the light of the world. Notice also the wisdom of God gives answers. The wisdom of God gives answers. Verse 2 at the end, "And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart, and Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." All her questions she asked. No doubt profound and deep questions of life. And he answered them all. And then she saw the order of his household and of the kingdom and the manner of the worship of God. And there was no more spirit in her. She was overwhelmed by the wisdom of Solomon and the glory of his kingdom that resulted from that wisdom. And if that was true of Solomon, how much more of Christ, the one who is so greater than Solomon? The answer to all things is in him. He is the one in whom and with whom are all the answers. Questions of life and death, the world to come, wisdom for this world, wisdom for the home, wisdom for kingdoms, wisdom to know how to worship God. All the answers are with him. And he is made known in the scriptures. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge to show us the way of life everlasting, to show us how to live now in this world, to show us how to worship God, to show us how to govern our homes, to show us how nations should be governed. Yes, nations. For surely if wisdom from God given to Solomon showed him how to govern, then the wisdom of God must show how nations should be governed, and Christ is that wisdom, and he was Solomon's wisdom. To say that Christ has nothing to do with the governing of nations, as some do, is to say that there is a wisdom outside of Christ and independent of Christ. No, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him, as made known to us in the Holy Scriptures. And it is a denial of that to think that any part of human life should be lived in independence of Christ, as set forth in the Scriptures. The one who gave wisdom to Solomon has wisdom for all of life, in every respect. Worship, the church, the home, the state, everything. Notice also, the wisdom of God in Christ exceeds all the reports. The wisdom of God in Christ exceeds all the reports. Verse 6, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the heart was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. The Queen of Sheba says she didn't really believe the report, but now she sees that it was all true, and the half was not told her. If that is true of Solomon's wisdom, how much more of the excellency of Christ, of whom Solomon was but a foreshadowing and a foretasting in the measure of his Christ-likeness. The people of God who perceive something of Christ's excellency do feel tongue-tied and inadequate to declare his greatness and his wisdom and his glory. But all that in Scripture is said of him is true. There will be no discrepancy between the testimony of Scripture and the glory of Christ that we shall behold. But how exceeding above all that we think is the glory of Christ that we shall behold. He prayed for his people that they may behold my glory, the glory which I had with thee before the world was made, before the foundation of the world, that they may behold my glory, the glory of Christ reflected only in a measure in Solomon. Left the Queen of Sheba overwhelmed. But what when we shall behold his glory, the glory of God in Jesus Christ? Then notice also the privilege of nearness to Christ. The privilege of nearness to Christ. Verse 8, happy are thy men, happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice. She recognizes the Lord as the source of all Solomon's greatness, and his gracious covenant as the reason for the blessings of Solomon's reign to Israel. And to be one of his servants, to hear his words of wisdom. She says, happy are they. But then to know Christ and have his word of truth and to commune with him. How foolish we are to undervalue our privileges, to have all the completed word of God, which exceeds what was given to Solomon. To have the full revelation of God, of Christ himself, of his death and resurrection, and the infallible apostolic exposition of these historic facts and events. Happy ought we to be to have the whole Scripture and to be able to draw near to God through Christ on the basis of that testimony of the wisdom of God. Then also, let us consider the throne of grace in verse 10 to verse 13. The special wood that the queen brought to Solomon was used for pillars and stairs for the temple and palace, and also for instruments of music. But you see in verse 13, and King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. The Queen of Sheba returned. She was not always in the presence of Solomon the king. But we have an unending access to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the throne of grace and to his word of truth. And we ought to prize these privileges that we have in the scriptures made known to us, all that we need to know of Christ, the wisdom of God and the light of the world. And that we are told there that sinners though we are, we can draw near to God through Christ continually at the throne of grace. So then, the beholding the light of the world. But then secondly, the riches of Christ's kingdom. The riches of Christ's kingdom. In the rest of this chapter, we are given a description of the immense riches and glory of Solomon's reign. Verse 14, now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Beside that he had of the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. Immense riches. Verse 16 and 17 mentions the great shields of gold that Solomon had made. And in verse 18 to 20, we have a description of the magnificent throne of judgment made of ivory and of gold, and the ornamental lions around it. In verse 21, we're told that the vessels were all of gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. And in verse 27, and the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. Silver was devalued because of the abundance of that which was more precious, that is gold. And in verse 24, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart, and they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules, arrayed year by year. The desire of the nations, foreshadowing the advance of the gospel, when our King Jesus, reigning at the right hand of the Father, is gathering in a people that shall be a multitude which no man can number out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. For the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord. Here you have a forerunner, a foreshadowing of that. They come to the wisdom of Solomon, but they will come with greater eagerness to the wisdom of God. It has begun and it is going on, and it will advance and increase until David's prayer in Psalm 72 is fulfilled. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Verse 28 to the end shows, or verse 26 to the end shows the chariots and the horses and the linen and the cedar trees in such abundance that they were as common as sycamore trees. And this then simply shows us the grandeur of this king reign of Solomon. As a type and forerunner of Christ, this shows that all belongs to Christ by right. Solomon was the Lord's anointed, the Messiah, the Christ, not the ultimate, not the true, but in the sense of a forerunner and a type. And the nations brought to Solomon. And it was right, because everything is the Lord's by right. And all nations should own Christ, King Jesus, and they devote themselves and all that they have to him. He is the rightful sovereign over everything on earth, and every ruler and every nation owes utter allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all their wealth is rightly Christ's. And those who do acknowledge him, his people, those who have been made willing in a day of his power and brought into the kingdom of his grace, they own this truth. They acknowledge that all that they have and all that is in their power is to be used for his glory, because he is the rightful king over all. And so the Christian, if he uses his energies, or he seeks to use his energies and his possessions to the honor of King Jesus, if he is the head of a household, he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." If he is a ruler of a nation, he kisses the Son and owns him as his king, the King of Kings. And so one day it will be evident when the Lord Jesus comes with great power and great glory that everything does belong to him. And he shall give all things as an inheritance to his people. The Apostle Paul says, "All things are yours, and ye are Christ's." All things are already ours, in the sense that our God is working all things for our good. Everything in existence is made by our God to serve the interests of the people of God. So in providence, all things are ours. But then in possession, for the meek shall inherit the earth, a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Then it shall be seen that everything is the Lord's, and he bestows it upon his people. But then thirdly, let us consider Christ, the true Solomon. There is an awful jolt when we come to the next chapter, that King Solomon loved many strange women and so on, and he was seduced to idolatry. The next chapter then gives us Solomon's sins and the start of Israel's decline from this high point of the golden age of Israel. This is the high point of the monarchy, and from here on the monarchy declines. God in his providence has given us in his word this high point of the picture of him who was to come, the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. But from here on there is decline. To get a taste of that, if you turn to chapter 14 and verse 25. Chapter 14, verse 25. "And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam," that's Solomon's son, "that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields, and committed them unto the hand of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so, when the king went into the house of the Lord, that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber." The gold is gone. Shields of brass kept under lock and key, as it were. Once Solomon forgot his dependence upon the Lord alone, the glory declined. But Christ never failed. He was faithful in all his house. God the Father said of him, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." Our Lord Jesus Christ, while he was in this world, he never sinned. He perfectly fulfilled all righteousness. And he had the right in himself to call God the Father, his God. And he is now at the right hand of the Father. And he ever liveth to make intercession with an unchangeable priesthood, reigning at the right hand of God. And he shall never fail. And he shall never depart, never cease to be the King of glory. And so he is the true Solomon. Solomon foreshadowed and sampled and reflected the glory of the King, our Lord Jesus Christ. So in Song of Solomon 3, verse 11, it is of him that it is said, "Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him, in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart."